Well, welcome to the gathering, and tonight our lesson is going to be on seeing God in the middle of life's transitions. And we're going to discover a whole bunch of things about transition, and I'm going to tell you in a minute just a little bit about why I chose this lesson. And but let's pray before we start. Jesus, thank you for your presence that's here tonight. And thank you, Lord, for bringing each one tonight, God, that you handpicked and have them here, Lord, for this message. And I just pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, that you would teach us, that we would learn more about you and who you want to be for us in the middle of seasons where life seems upside down. And Father, I just pray that lives would be changed, that perhaps any lie, any one of us have believed about you, that you would just shed truth, and we would see you in your goodness and how you really are. Thank you, Lord, for your love and how you're teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, transition, that's an interesting word. One time I was visiting with a friend and I was going through some things and she just looked at me and she said, "Oh, Kathleen," she said, "you're just going through a lot of transitions." And I said, "I'm what?" She said, I'm thinking, no, I'm talking about X, Y, and Z. She said, "No, you're going through multiple transitions." And I sat back for a minute and I had to think about it. And then became my journey of seeing my life and the transitions that I was going through, but also when different transitions would pop up later on in my life. So what is transition? Well, and this is something where you can fill in the blanks if you want to take notes. Transition is defined as movement or passage, those are the first two fill in the blanks, from one state or stage to another. It's the process or period of changing. You know, the Latin root, I look up, sometimes I like to dig deeper about, go in and find the meanings of words. The Latin root of this, of the word transition, means across, beyond, or to the other side. Transition is the process, and this is the next fill in the blank. It's the process of exchanging. It's exchanging our past for our future. It's a time of figuring things out, and it's a time when you're living in the moment, in the now, and the not yet. How many of you have been in, people have been in situations and you've had people ask you, "Well, what are you going to do about this?" Or, "Oh my goodness, this is going on in your life. Well, how are you going to do this?" And when I was first widowed, that was a common question I got. "What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do?" And it would literally, at times, I didn't like saying, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." Because that's really, I didn't know. I was figuring things out. And a lady said to me, she said, "You don't know yet." She said, "Put yet on the end of things and it's going to help you." And I thought, yet, a three-letter word is going to help me. But when I did, it helped me. And so then when those questions would come, I could say, "I don't know yet." And that gave me hope, because I didn't know yet, and all of those things that people were asking about because they were genuinely concerned. They really were concerned. They wanted to help. But what I could say is, I don't know yet. And it seemed to make me feel better and to make them feel better. because they were trying to oftentimes help me put the pieces back together. But most of us don't like transitions because another just basic word for transition is change. And I used to say, I don't like the C word. I had actually your daughter was one, and we had this kind of ongoing little thing where I'd say, you know, this is a C word. I mean, neither one of us wanted to say it, but it was true. And I think it's because when my friend identified you're going through transition, I thought, well, what is it that I don't like about this? And what it is I felt very vulnerable in times of transition. It was hard work. It took a lot of energy. Transition requires us to leave some place that's comfortable. That's one of your blanks to fill in. It requires us to leave the place we are comfortable to move into our future. We're creatures of wanting to be comfortable, don't we? We like to routine. We don't like it when HEB moves the stuff around and we don't know which aisle to find the sugar on. You know, do you remember when they did that before? Now they're going to do it again. So we just might as well, you know, all just sing for joy and say, woohoo, another transition. But it's when we move into, we don't like to leave where we're comfortable, but it's how we move into the future. It's moving into the future. It does mean that progress is happening. That is the good news. Something is happening in times of transition. But it's an uncomfortable time. It makes us realize that we are not where we were, and yet we're not yet where we're going to be. We're in between, that in between. And so why are we talking about it tonight? That's not a typical when you're doing a Bible study conversation. But what I have found is it's a huge part of life. And in my life, I begin to see God in the middle of the change, in the middle of the transitions, in a way that I hadn't seen before. And then I begin to find scripture too. So, and I'm an ordinary girl. I grew up here in Kerrville. I think I'm not the only one that goes through times and seasons of transition. Recognizing transitions in your own life are going to help you navigate through these times, but it's also going to help you understand yourself. It's going to help you understand yourself a little better, and it's going to help you understand and comfort other people. As we go through the lesson, I think you're going to begin to glean nuggets, and when you're talking to people in the days ahead, you're going to be able to say to them, like my friend said to me, oh, you're in a transition. And here's some things that might help. You're going to recognize it. One of the things I feel very strongly about is God is not bringing you all here just to hear a middle-aged woman talk. He's bringing you here because he wants to equip you. And he wants to equip you to take you to other people. He wants to give you tools. And so that is my heart, is to give you tools to go out into our community, to go out into our churches, to go out into the grocery store, to take it to your kids that live out of state, wherever. There's going to be divine appointments in your life. And what you're gleaning right now, tonight, are going to be some keys to help other people be set free with what you're learning tonight. Transition is a part of everyday life. And the majority of people I found do not understand it. They just don't. My vivid, when somebody says transition, the first thing that popped into my mind was going through transition and childbirth. Any of you remember that season? Or remember if you're a spouse going through it with your mate? My transition in childbirth was not a real pretty thing. I took forever. I didn't have short childbirth. I took forever to get from 1 to 4. And then I had like 30 minutes, and this was with all three of my kids, 30 minutes of super, super hard contractions. And then I was at a place that it was time to give birth. Well, during those 4 to 10 in childbirth, I do remember grabbing my husband by the collar and looking at him. And I said, I want to go home. I don't want to do this anymore. And I was serious as a heart attack. I really was. Because I did not know what happened to me. I did not want to have a natural childbirth, but the epidural did not work. So I was not a real happy camper. It's denial. It was. And I'm like, oh my word. And the first time I'd never been through it. I was a little more prepared when the other two were born. And I wouldn't trade those three kids for anything. And they were certainly worth it. But that transition time right there, I didn't like signing up for it. I did not, because I felt very vulnerable. I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought the transition was going to go on forever, and I really thought I was going to die. And at that point, I didn't really care. It was okay. I just knew I didn't want to be right where I was at that moment on that table. It was scary. It was uncomfortable, and I felt like everything was out of control. And I felt like, you know, my husband's like, you're in transition. It's going to be okay. You're just in transition. I said, you would say anything right now. You know? And he's looking at me. I'm just telling you the truth. Maybe there's people that have just real sweet stories. And I did get to be in when my daughter has had her two children, and she had an epidural, and it was a real pretty thing, but was not the case with me. So that has helped me to understand, you know, other transitions in my life. I'm going to share some of the ones that I've been through. Some of these I have not, but I think you're going to recognize. One transition is when you become a parent. Do you remember how they give you this baby and then you're trying to figure out what to do with it, and all of a sudden you're responsible for it and you have to take it home, and you know, it's not going anywhere, it's going to stick around. And you know, it's a transition when you become a new mom, because you're learning a new role, and a new dad, you're learning a new role, and it's a new responsibility. And you go from just the two of you and doing whatever you want to your life being arranged about this new creature that's come to reside and you know, eat your food and take your time and wake you up in the middle of the night, and it's not just your life anymore. You know, even expecting those things. And of course, we've just talked about transition in childbirth. But what about the empty nest? The empty nest, that's a transition. For us, we had kids at home for 26 years. Because we had a big span between our oldest and our youngest. And so somebody had been in our home for 26 years. And it was a transition when I didn't have to cook for a family. I didn't have to, could just cook for two of us. You know, it was different. My time was spent different. I went from 12 straight years of sitting in bleachers at Tyvee High School. You know, I mean, between three kids, it was like it never ended. I thought, it's eternal parenthood. I guess it, I don't know. But they did leave, and then it was an adjustment. Some of you that have been through it, I know, can relate to that. What about when your loved one is experiencing a life-threatening disease? Or they get you get news, and a loved one, somebody you love dearly, maybe your mom, maybe your spouse, maybe your sister. You know, that can be a real time of transition, because oftentimes you might have to go in and help with the caregiver and adjust your schedule. Adjust your, which you're happy to do, but it's an adjustment. It's a transition. Losing a mate. I know that there are at least, I see at least six widows here tonight, and losing your mate is a huge transition. For me to go from being married for 30 years and with the same person, 33, to all of a sudden going home to an empty house where nothing else breathed. I never really wanted house pets, but I looked at my Cocker Spaniel that was an outside dog, and I said, Maggie, something else has to breathe in this house, and you're nominated. Come in here, and you better not wet my carpet. You know, I mean, I needed something else breathing in the house. But it's so huge. And so if you know someone that's widowed and recently are a widower, understand that it's a huge transition to go from being married, being coupled, doing and making decisions together, to being alone. You have to reinvent yourself. When you are divorced or widowed, that's another transition. That divorce too, it's not just losing a mate. Divorce ends a relationship oftentimes. And oftentimes, I haven't been through one, but from what I understand, it's usually you're left to pick up pieces in multiple ways. Your finances change. How you spend your time changes. You have to figure things out as far as kids go. Then being single after you've been married for a long time, that's another transition in life. What about starting a new job? You know, whenever you start a new job, even though you might have experience, there are new systems, there's new ways of doing things. I had worked in different occupations, but anytime I've started a new job, it's like the first day, everybody's so nice, and everybody, you know, welcome, show you around. And I remember walking out from something I did not too long ago and thinking, well, that wasn't a bad first day. And then the second day hit, and it's like, you have to sign up for this. This is our system for if you want to get reimbursed for any expenses. This is how you process this. Oh, and you have to go through public affairs and communication if you want to talk to any. You know, there are all of these things you have to learn oftentimes with a new job. And I was like, man, do I even know anything? You know, what am I doing here? But then, and to even recognize that, I thought, this is transition. I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to look at it one day at a time and figure out what I need to do today. Resigning from a job or retirement. Now, even though you oftentimes pick that, it's an adjustment. I recently, I guess in 2017, retired from the job that I had done as a development officer, and I went from 10 and 12 hour days to I can do whatever I want. And it was an adjustment. I mean, I was kind of lost. It took me a while to find my rhythm. Now, fortunately, I had knew what transition was. I knew that this period was coming. I knew, even though with knowing it, I still had to practice it. Okay, I haven't found out what I'm going to spend my time in yet. I'm not sure what I want to volunteer for. I'm not sure what I want to do. And then when I would just about figure it out, you know, something else would change. But retirement. So if you have a spouse coming up and retirement's thinking, it's going to be an adjustment for you too. What about moving to a new house or town? Moving is a big transition. My son, oldest son, is a naval officer, and so they move quite frequently. And I've gone up to help them pack. I've gone to help them unpack. And things are upside down. You don't know where anything is. Right now, my house is upside down because I've done new carpet, new paint. Stuff is still in boxes. I don't know where something was. The other night, we're spending most of our time in Uvalde right now because my husband is, his business is down there, and this is, it's dove season. He has a dove hunting side business. And he came back to Kerrville. It was the first night we did the gathering. He was able to come up, and he went back to change clothes after we were here. And he came out, and he said, "What do you think of my shoes?" And I looked down, and he had on one brown house slipper and one gray croc. And I said, "Well, it doesn't look like you've got shoes on that match. It would be easier to walk in shoes that match, don't you think?" He said, "It would if they were in my closet. I can't find anything in my closet." And so it was kind of funny. And he made jokes about it all night long, you know, all evening. It was real funny. But it's still a little bit like that because there's still stuff that we're getting out in boxes because, thank you, Jesus, the carpet was finished last week. So anyway, but when you move, it's like that. You got to get your system down. You got to figure out where your forks go, all of those things. Getting married. How many of you remember going through a transition when you got married? Yeah. Stephen and I married 7 years ago, and it was a big transition. A whole different man who does things a whole different way in a whole different community. You know, there was a lot of adjusting. Becoming a caregiver when someone's ill. And another transition is when you, as the child, become a parent to your parents. That was something when my mom got sick that was a huge adjustment and transition for me because I resisted it. I didn't want it. I wanted my mom like she was. I wanted her healthy. I wanted her being who she was, and she just was not. And I remember when someone said to me, "You're the parent now." And I was like, "But I don't want to be." But she needed me to be because she couldn't manage her life. And it was just too much with the rare disease she had for my dad to do it. In addition to the family is another transition to start a new project or something God's calling you to. You know, God calls us to different things in different seasons, and what we did 5 years ago may not be what we're going to do tomorrow. He shifts things around. And when you step into a new calling, or you step into, God expands and stretches you in different ways. How many of you have ever been stretched a little bit? God calls you to something, and you're like, "I don't think I'm equipped. I don't think I'm ready." It's a transition. That can be a transition too. And just common things, businesses that all of a sudden take off and grow. Maybe you have a small operation and it worked where you just had a few employees and all of a sudden things happen. I was talking to a lady up here at the Croc and she said, you know, we went from, you know, 10 employees last year to we've got 40 this year, and I'm trying to make sure we've got HR right, and I'm trying to do this. I mean, she went on and on about just the transition it was for her. I'm going to read, there was an article, I think I copied it for y'all, but I'm going to read just a part of it because this was something I wrote, and this was a number of years ago, but it just kind of explained, and it was when the Lord was teaching me about transitions. And here's what I said. I have encountered a lot of transition in the last few years of my life. You might be able to identify with some of them. My last child left the nest and went to college. A change from children at home for 26 years to the empty nest. A healthy husband who was living a full life to a husband with cancer. Having a spouse for 30 years and losing my mate. Resigning from a ministry and job that was dear to my heart to rest and care for my elderly parents, beginning a new job, adjusting to a new organization, and a few months later taking another position in that same organization. It's interesting that I work for a nonprofit, BCFS HHS, Kerrville Transition Center. We help at-risk youth, da-da-da-da-da. I said, of course I would work there at a transition center. I feel like the queen of transition. I got tired just writing that. But it was the truth, and in all that was where God made himself so real to me and taught me a lot of things about transition. So the beauty of all this is that when we bring God into the transitions of our life, we have a new perspective and we navigate in this season better, and we have an opportunity to change and grow instead of being overwhelmed and anxious. Does God like transition? Yes, I think he does, because his word says he's conforming us to his image. He wants us to change. I think he's like, it's the C word, they get to change, let's see how they do. But I think it's a good thing. It's just like us as parents watching our kids grow. Yes, when they start to walk, they're going to fall down. But it's so cute because they're trying, right? And you pick them back up and you help them learn something new. And I think God delights in you and me. He delights in us. And I think he loves when we go through these times that are just part of life. God's not picking on you. It's just part of life here on earth. Perfection will be there in heaven, but right now we are here on earth. So we get to grow and change. Philippians 3, verse 13 through 15. Let's read a scripture. I found several scriptures in my journey through the different transitions in my life that were comforting to me. And I was like, huh, this has been going on a long time and I just am figuring it out. Philippians 3, verse 13 through 15. And it says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind to press towards the goal. Now that doesn't mean we don't ever recall or we forget those that we've loved and lost. It doesn't mean that we totally forget them. But there's a place where in order to move forward, you do have to look ahead, because you can't gain momentum if you're always looking behind you in anything. Whether you get fired from a job and you have to take another job, if you're always looking and regretting what happened, it's going to be hard to look forward. And so when we look forward, it does help us gain momentum. And, you know, in the King James Version, I just read from the NIV, but in the King James Version, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And that word perfect doesn't mean doing everything right all the time. It means maturing. And that is, I think, God's heart, is that we mature. And Paul shows us how to go through transition, to press forward. And that was something I would daily get up. Lord, let me, when I was, for a while, being widowed, I would say, what do I need to let go of today? And what do I need to press forward in to move forward in my life? Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, and so that's more towards the front of the Bible. Okay, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Right there is a fabulous promise for us and an admonition for us to forget some of the former things in order to recognize the new thing that God is taking us to in our lives. You can't grow without change, and you can't change without growth. I'm going to say that again. You can't change, you can't grow without change, and you can't change without growth. And when we put it that way, in all of us, nobody wants to stay stuck. Now, we may not like change, and we may not like the uncomfortable feelings that come with it, but nobody wants to stay stuck. I just don't think anybody does. I think there's that desire in all of us to press forward. You think about a caterpillar and what it goes through. Think about that caterpillar that's on the ground. And what if that caterpillar said, nope, I love it right here on the ground. I just want to stay right here and eat leaves. And I can just see God up there saying, yeah, but if you make this cocoon and you go round and round, I know it's going to be dark, you're going to be upside down, you're going to feel like life is upside down, but when that cocoon breaks forth, you're going to be able to fly. And think of how many other things you're going to get to see. You get the picture? And I think oftentimes that's what's happening in times of transition. And I want to encourage you, because I feel strongly you're going to run into people in the days ahead. And it's comforting to people when you recognize their transition. It is, because it helps them get their bearing. It's like dropping an anchor in their life. It may feel like this now, but it's not always going to be like this. We are people of hope. We serve a God of hope. And so that hope is something we can hang on to and oftentimes toss that life preserver to somebody that really feels like the waves are washing over them. Is God with us in times of transition? Let's look at Deuteronomy 31:8. Deuteronomy is the fourth book. It's towards the front in your Bible. Yes, I think God is with us in the middle of transitions. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Excuse me. As we reach for what's ahead, we must trust God. And that's where in the faith part comes in. And to me, where the rubber meets the road. Ironically, when I was in just the huge transition in that time that I, when I wrote this article, just gone through the things or was still going through the things, I went part of a team building thing in the organization I was with. We took a day and we went out to, I don't know, someplace in Hunt. And we did this rope course. And the whole thing was to make us work together better as a team because none of us knew each other. We were starting a new program to help at-risk youth here. All of us were coming together, and we were all having to really quickly learn how to have each other's back and work together and get to know each other. So one of the things they did is have us do this ropes course. And one of the things we had to do is they tied a hornet's around you. And you had to, you're standing on, I think there's a picture. I think there's a picture of me. And I had to leap from one platform to catch the next bar. And I think I copied that for you. Is there a picture? on the back of one of the articles? Nope, it isn't. I must have used something different. But anyway, I had to jump from a platform to catch the next bar. And when I jumped, I missed the bar. But because I had this harness on, I didn't die. I didn't go splat. I just didn't catch the bar. But it was a reminder of how God is right there to catch us in these times of transition. He's right there. If we have to take a leap, we have to try something new, we have to do that. He's right there to help us. Excuse me, I'm going to have to get something for my throat. You know, I was thinking of different people in the Bible that had gone through transitions. And one of the things I discovered was that David went through a lot of transition. David, that wrote the book of Psalms, went through a lot of transitions in his life. And, you know, he was a shepherd boy. He was tending sheep. He was on the side of a hill looking after, just doing what was in front of him at that time. And if you study the life of David and Samuel, one of the things, he's out there and he's protecting the sheep. He's making sure they have food. He's making sure they have water. He learned how to kill a bear. He learned how to kill a lion. He learned, and those things were preparing him for the days ahead. Now, I'm sure he's thinking, I'm an ordinary boy. I'm an ordinary guy. And I'm just doing what's right in front of me. But all of those things were things preparing him for his destiny. Transition is our training ground for what's ahead. And when we can look at it as our training ground, as trying to kind of like the things that are going to equip us, it helps us to navigate and to see things better. Between tending sheep and becoming king, he later became king. But in between that time of just being out there tending sheep, there was a huge transition in David's life. And David was chosen, and I'm doing the short version of David. He was chosen to become king. But guess what? There were people around him that didn't recognize his identity, that thought, who does this guy think he is? And we've been talking about identity and the importance of understanding our identity in Christ and understanding who we are. And I'm sure for David, there were people that are like, he's a shepherd. How's he going to be a king? And David, though, in that time, King Saul became aware of this. And King Saul was jealous, and he wanted to kill David. And so David had to flee for his life. He had to flee. And so in David's time of transition, what I saw, I was reading in Samuel, but what I saw is in that time of transition, he was hanging out in caves. I mean, he was hiding for his life. And the guys that kind of gathered around him were what I call, they weren't exactly palace people. I'm sure it's like, okay, these are the people you send me. And it says in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, it describes these guys. Listen to these people that David got to hang around with in his transition. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered around him. And he became their leader. How many of you are like, yeah, you know? I mean, I read that and I was like, well, maybe it's my life's not so bad after all. But the cool thing was David, in the middle of his transition, see what I love about David? Wasn't a perfect man, but he was being faithful at what God put in front of him at that time. And maybe you might be saying, this job that I'm doing right now, it is not what I really want to be doing, but it's where you are right now. Be faithful at it. Because God looks at our faithfulness, and when we're faithful in the little things, He gives us more. And when you're faithful to love the people right around you, He's going to broaden your sphere of people to love and help. Be faithful where God has you right now. And the cool thing with David is he saw these men's value. He raised them up. He believed in them. And he helped them become mighty men. If you study that story in Samuel, he looked outward in his transition instead of having self-pity. And here's the thing. It's real easy to have self-pity. I know it was a friend of mine for a while until a dear friend. One day I was talking to her, and she was the one who said something about transitions to me. And actually she wasn't, but she was somebody that recognized some things. But one day I was talking to her, and I was going on and on about whatever, and she said, "Oh, Kathleen, you're dealing with self-pity, aren't you?" And I was like, well, now that's not what I wanted her to say. But she loved me enough to say that. And what was the cool thing is she said, "Let me pray for you." And self-pity isn't our friend. When we just look inward versus outward, it's going to keep us stuck. Another thing I loved about David was in 1 Samuel 23, 2 and 4, he inquired of the Lord. He came upon a battle, and he was trying to figure out what to do. And it says he inquired of the Lord. In times of transition, that's when we need to inquire of the Lord. We need to seek Him. We need to ask Him. And He'll speak to you. He's a God that wants a relationship. Oftentimes, we just don't take time to listen and sit and be still. Transitions can be times that make you feel inadequate and make you feel alone. And we've already talked about how they're not necessarily times of comfort, but there are times when we're being transformed. You know, Esther is another biblical example of someone who went through a transition. She was an orphan girl. All of a sudden, she goes to be raised by Mordecai. He takes her to a different culture. But in that time, Esther rested. If you study the life of Esther, she rested in her time. Transition takes a lot of energy out of you. It takes physical, emotional energy out of you. And so in times of transitions, it's real important to put things into your physical, emotional, and spiritual bank that are things that will help you in that time. But Esther rested, and that was preparation for when she had to go before the king and to say, you know, these Jewish people, I mean, let's have another thought about them. You can read that passage too. Navigating in times of transition. You might want to take some notes in this. Number one, remember it's only a season. It's real easy to stand there and say, oh my gosh, it's going to be like this forever. This is so hard. Usually, a transition is only a season, and it's right before God is birthing something. And now another thing is we have an opportunity to let go of something and become someone new. In times of transition, when we embrace them, not resist them, when we partner with God in times of transition, we can become somebody new. And so I already shared with you one of my prayers. Lord, let me know, show me what I need to let go of, and show me, you know, give me vision for what's ahead. Show me what I need to let go of today. You don't have to let go of everything at one time, but today. Keep your focus on how to overcome in your time of transition. I did a lesson last year on you have a God-given right to overcome in crisis, and understanding that when you have a God-given right to overcome in times of transition. The word overcome means to get the better of the situation. That's what it means. And in any situation, you have that God-given right. So sorry. Ask God how He sees you in your transition and what He sees you becoming. What is His perspective of it? Inquire of God. Ask God. And when you seek Him, He's going to show you in some way. When you partner with God, one of the things I learned is in my times of transition, when you partner with God, it can make it an adventure. When I would look at the difficult things as, okay, Lord, I'm choosing to partner with You. I know You're with me in this. I know You want to change me. I have an opportunity here. I don't want to waste it. I don't like to waste time. Lord, it's an adventure. And I tell you, when I finally decided after my late husband was gone, okay, he's gone, it's time to move on. I think I'm ready to date, but oh my word, the rules had changed a whole lot from when I dated at 19 to when, you know, here I was a woman in my early 50s. It's like, what are the rules? Where's the handbook? How do you do this? I just don't know. And it became overwhelming. But when I looked at each thing as an adventure with God, and each date that I went on, I had to just kind of, okay, Lord, protect my heart, protect my mind, protect my body. Okay, Lord, I'm on an adventure with You tonight. And when I looked at it that way, it took some of the fear, the anxiety away when I realized that God was with me in those situations. Don't resist the pain. Step into it and embrace it. Oftentimes we fight against it. And one of the things I think had been my labors long in transition was somehow it didn't connect to just breathe. For me, I was like, I've got to do something. I've got to get this child here quickly. And I should have rested and relaxed a little bit more. But rest in God's love for you. Rest in His love and find your security in Him. You know, it says in Romans 8 in verse 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. So what are some of the benefits of transition? Well, we can discover who God wants to be for us, and it gives us treasures to give other people. What you're going to learn in your times of transition about yourself, about other people, is going to give you treasures to be able to give to other people. I was going through my journal, and I began to circle. I began to circle in my journal key words when I was trying to figure out what to teach on this semester. And so this was one word that was in my journal a good bit. And so I went back to that as I was preparing this lesson. And one of the things I felt like God spoke to me is He said, transitions are not always about you, Kathleen, but are about Me moving you and giving you to others to love and impart My kingdom. My kingdom is built on relationship. So some of the transitions I was going through last year in the last 18 months, when I looked at them that, well, this isn't so much about me all the time, but what God's trying to shape in me, to develop in me, to be able to give to other people. Another benefit of transition is we have the opportunity to trust God. We have the opportunity to flex our trust muscle. When we rest in His love for us and we connect our hearts to His in times of transition, it helps us to see our future. God's a God who wants us looking forward. We've already found those different scriptures. One of the transitions last year that we went through, I was overseeing care for my husband's dad and his stepmom because we were the kids in town There were no other siblings. And her children, my husband's stepmother, her children lived out of state. And so it was interesting overseeing the caregiving, and then it became evident that it was time that they moved to assisted living, that what we were doing needed to change. And getting all of us on the same page took a little bit of time. And some of that I shared last year in some of the lessons in the fall. But as the story goes, we did move them in to assisted living in June. And when I drove out of the driveway the other day, as I was driving out, I just had a flashback, and I thought of where we were and how difficult it was a year ago. And it was like the Lord just said, he said, see, what was such a big deal to you and took a lot of your time and energy last year at this time, look at where I've taken it this year at this time. And I just had to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And one of the things that was written in my journal that I felt like God said is, my heart is that you have total trust, total assurance, and total confidence in your transitions in life. My heart is that you have total trust, total assurance, and total confidence in the transition in your life. It's an opportunity. Another benefit of transition is it's an opportunity to grow and change. And oftentimes we need to change our own perspective of ourselves, how we see ourselves. Even just doing the gathering, and even as God has stretched me in different capacities and different things he's calling me to, one of the things I saw is that and I shared some of that in the lesson on identity, that my perception of myself, it was like God was saying, you need to see the new identity I'm calling you to step in. It's like putting on clothes that are too little for you. You need an upgrade in this area. And so we have an opportunity to grow and change. Another thing that was written in my journal was, in this season of transition in your life, step out of your old identity and let go of it. These situations in your life can show you that your understanding of identity is too small and outdated. When you're going through a time of transition, the transition also must be accompanied by a fresh revelation of God and who he is and wants to be for you now. And times of transition, just like in David's life and like in Esther's life, they prepare us for our future, and they're not wasted. I want to close tonight with a song, and I want you to just close your eyes and let the words of this song wash over you. And my prayer is that it comforts you in your time of transition. By Mac Brock, Greater Things. Lord, thank you that you're with us in our transitions. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've shown us in your word. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, as each person leaves, that they would take what they've learned and look at their life and just see you in the middle of their transitions. Lord, I thank you for how you're equipping us, Lord, to take your word, your hope, Lord, to those around us. And Father, I just pray for your peace over the transitions that each one is going through in their life or will go through. Lord, bless those that aren't here tonight that have had just difficult transitions recently. And thank you, God, for who you are and call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer,